Mark chapter 7 and verse 32. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. Isn't it wonderful that this man had such friends that they knew that only Jesus could help him? And they knew that if they got him to Jesus, what a difference he would make in their life. And the Bible said in verse 33, and he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed. And he spake plain. That is, now he's doing what he has never done before. And immediately the Lord Jesus Christ has been able to do for him what nobody else could do. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. Amen. He hath done all things well. Yes, he maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. You may be seated. Our text verse here is found in Mark chapter 7 and verse 37, where the Bible said that these that witnessed the mighty power of Christ and what Jesus did for this man said, the scripture testifies, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. And that is an exclusive statement about the Lord Jesus in the Bible. None of us could say that we have done all things well, but we can say that he has done all things well. Now, you know, as you look into the Bible, that each gospel writer has his own unique emphasis about how they present to us the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times we recognize that the first three writers record some of the same events and some of the same circumstances that unfold to us their presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew presents to us Jesus as the King of the Jews. And as such, he takes us back into the Old Testament scripture and tells us again and again that the Lord Jesus Christ is identified with the Old Testament scripture. And then the Gospel of Luke presents Jesus to us as God's perfect man. He is in that book the Son of Man, and the Bible tells us about his ministry and his life through the eyes of a physician that lived in the Roman Empire. And Dr. Luke presents to us God's perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Gospel of John presents to us Jesus Christ as God incarnate in the flesh. John reveals him as man's perfect God. But Mark presents to us the Lord Jesus Christ as the submissive servant of Jehovah. And he represents Jesus Christ and reveals Christ to us as the supernatural Son of God. And it's not that he is just a lowly servant, but that he is the servant of Jehovah God, a servant of God in a supernatural way. And so there's some texts in the accounts and life of the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry that strike wonder in our mind. And they leave their impression immediately. I believe there's two such expressions in this chapter. Look in chapter 7 and verse number 24. The last phrase said, but he could not be hid. Even in spite of the fact that sometimes he would retire into the wilderness and he would pull away, the multitudes would go out to see him and to hear him. And they longed to hear his words and hear what he had to say. And there were times when some came to arrest him and take him from the multitudes. And they said, why have you not brought brought him. They said, we could not bring him because never man spake like this man. Isn't it wonderful when you go into God's word and you find out that Jesus cannot be healed. He could not be healed in the midst of the multitudes, and he cannot be healed in the hearts of believing sinners. Isn't that wonderful to know tonight? And so our text tonight is an exclusive statement which can only be applied to the Son of God. The Bible said he hath done all things well. None of us could claim that. None of us would profess that. And in fact, we may even hope to say, like Mary, that she hath done what she could. And so we know of his mighty power and how it's expressed in the text that we just read. In fact, if you go through the Gospel of Mark, you'll find such similar statements from those who had witnessed our Lord's miracle working power. In fact, this statement fits him so well. The Bible said, he hath done all things well. And you and I never tire to read about all the things that he's done. And we explore our Savior's record in the scripture. We're able to see his matchless person. No one was like the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet he came to this world, hallelujah, to reveal God to us. God manifest in the flesh. And he came to reveal the Father. And you and I are able to see him in the record of the Gospel of Mark. And we're able to see his marvelous power. Isn't it wonderful to see him do what nobody else can do? We see him opening up the eyes of the blind. We see him touching the untouchable, the lepers. And we see him raising the dead. And we see him doing miracles of nature. And we see his marvelous miracles. And then we see his tender mercy. Only he could take a little child and sit down with that child and teach a lesson that every adult should learn. And only he could meet that guilty woman there in John chapter number 8. And sin met grace that day when he wrote in the sand and all of her accusers were dismissed from that particular place. I thank God for his matchless person. I thank God for his marvelous power. And I praise the Lord for the record of the scripture of his wonderful and powerful love. His love is astounding. And when you think about how he loves sinners, that's something he was criticized about. His astounding love and his amazing life. It's remarkable when you study the Gospel of Mark, you'll find 7 times the word amazed. I'm glad tonight I'm still amazed at the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll find the word astonished. I'm still astonished at what he can do. In fact, the Bible tells us here and that beyond measure they were astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. And so his labor on earth while he was here is unequaled among all of his peers. And throughout the Gospel of Mark, we see him exalted by those who could not fully describe the greatness of his power. Now let's look, if you will, here. Go to Mark chapter 1 and verse number 7. And we'll look at the statement of the forerunner. Mark chapter 1 and verse number 7. The Bible says about this forerunner and preach, saying, there cometh one mightier than I, after me the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. And so the forerunner tells us that there would be one that would come that would be mightier. He would be valiant. He would be strong. He would be powerful. He said, I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose the latchet of his shoe. And so the forerunner testifies to us of the greatness and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 1 and verse 11. Not only does the forerunner testify, but the Father testifies. Look in Mark chapter 1, verse number 11. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Thank God for the voice from heaven that reveals the Father's affection. He said, thou art my beloved son. And that voice from heaven reveals the Father's approval. He said, in whom I am well pleased. Thank God for the testimony of God the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the forerunner testifies to him. The Father testifies to him. And then those in Capernaum in Mark chapter 2 and verse 12 testify of him. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. How it is that when that paralytic man who came, my friend, into that meeting through a hole in the roof, got up and took off, walking under the power of the miracle working power of the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, we never saw it on this fashion. I want to tell you, if you hang around him very long, and if you watch what he can do, he'll amaze you and astonish you over and over again. There's nobody like him tonight. There's nobody like him tonight, like the Lord Jesus Christ, the forerunner and the Father. And his fellows say about him that nobody can do what he can do. Hallelujah. And then there's those in Nazareth in Mark chapter 6 and verse number 2. And the Bible said in Mark 6 and verse 2, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? So even those in Nazareth were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is given unto him that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Oh, when I look through the Gospel of Mark, I'm able to see what Jesus Christ can do as the submissive servant, as the supernatural Son of God. And these statements reveal to us his mighty power. I'm glad tonight that there is none equal to him, the incomparable Son of God. And the Bible reveals to us that he has power over the demonic world. In Mark 1 verse 27, and they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And so he has power over the kingdom of darkness. I'm glad to be able to say to the enemy tonight that you are not greater than the one who lives within me. I'm glad to be able to say that he's got power over the demonic world. What thing is this, they said? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. I'm glad that he sent demons out of those that were possessed of devils. And thank God he made their heart his home and began to live in their soul. I'm glad he's got power over demons. Hallelujah. And then not only that, we learn from the record of Mark that he's got power over disease. In Mark chapter 2 verse 12, and immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. And so the healing of the palsied man demonstrates the Lord's power over sickness. I'm glad Jesus, my friend, can do what no one else can do. He can even take the sin sick soul. Oh yes, I was singing this afternoon, a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior is he. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. And I see this wonderful Savior. Not only does he reach into the demonic world, but he also reaches into those that are diseased, and he does for them what nobody else can do. I want to tell you, hallelujah, and he can take the hardest cases and those that are sin sick and eat up with sin, and he can bring them out by his mighty power. He can take care of the problem of sin sickness. I'm glad he's still able to save. He's still mighty to save. He's still powerful to save. He's still willing to save. What he done in the physical realm, he longs to demonstrate in the spiritual realm. And so he's got power over demons, and he's got power over disease. Hallelujah. And then not only that, he's got power over disaster. The disciples were in a terrible storm in the Gospel of Mark chapter 4. In fact, as they sailed in their ship, the ship was in the sea, and then the sea got in the ship. And the Bible said in verse 37, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Now, I don't know if you know it or not, but this is already a miracle. When your boat gets full of water, it's not going to float very long. But this boat was a different kind of boat because it had the master of the sea and the maker of the waves on it. Hallelujah. I like what Brother Buster Seaton said. He said it was a submarine. Jesus already had a submarine. And he was on board and they were going forward, even though that the boat had taken on water. I'm glad Jesus, hallelujah, was in this ship. And they began to cry out to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Oh, I'm telling you what, friend, this great storm brought about such a great scare. I'm telling you, child of God, there's going to be storms that are going to do everything they can to take from you every ounce of faith that you have. It's going to try to bring fear to your heart. Oh, but I want to tell you this. If the Master's on board, you don't have to be afraid, and you don't have to yield to the terrors of the enemy. Thank God, there's still a great Savior. Savior on board. Hallelujah. That's right. And they got scared and fearful. I believe I would have been too. I'm not putting them down. I'm just telling you. The Bible said, they said, Master, care us not that we perish. I mean, the wind was raging and the waves were rising. And the Bible said, and he arose. Oh, yes. Verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And so the great storm that caused a great scare brought about a great serenity, because the master of the waves, the maker of the waves, and the master of the wind stepped up. And he said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I'm glad they had a great Savior in the midst of that disaster and in the midst of the storm. I'm glad he's still in charge. Listen now, he's still in charge even in the midst of the storm. Don't you ever forget, he's on your ship and you're on his ship, and you're sailing together when you're in a storm. Hallelujah! When he's on board, you can know that he's in charge. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. I thank God that he rebuked the wind and demonstrated the power he had over it. And that's because he revealed he had power over disaster in the lives of the disciples. And so I could say, when I stand there and watch him deliver those from the powers of demonic forces, I can say that he had done all things well. Amen. And when I stand there and I see what he does in Mark chapter 2 and Mark chapter 5, I can say that he had done all things well. He's able to deliver those from whatever disease or malady they've been stricken with. And when I stand there on the shore and I watch what he does with the storm, I can say to him, hallelujah, and I can say of him, hallelujah, he's done all things well. Those are the comments they made about this wonderful Savior. Now, the context is a personal miracle that was done in a man's life. This man's need was peculiar. And the wonderful thing about the context in verse 32 through verse number 37 is that the Bible said that after he was finished, that they were astonished. The scripture said, beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. No tongue. tongue could describe it. No imagination could put it into words except to say he had done all things well. Hallelujah. And Jesus demonstrates again in this passage of Scripture that he is the submissive servant of Jehovah and the supernatural Son of God. He has in this passage and will in this passage demonstrate his mighty power in the life of a helpless man. A man who in reality could not even help himself. He could not hear and he could not communicate. He was deaf, and I take it from the language that if not completely dumb as far as his speech, that he could not communicate effectively. And isn't it wonderful as I read this account that the man had some interested friends, that whoever it was that brought him to Jesus knew that he had a case that only Christ could cure. Hallelujah. Oh, that may have been where you were at. That certainly was where I was at. Somebody found me and said, there's only one that can cure such a case as this. Amen. No, I'm glad that in this private meeting that the Lord encountered him because of the involvement of some interested friends. How is it that you and I can call people our friends and we never try to bring them to him? Oh, listen carefully now. I believe a real friend will want to try to get their friends to come to the dearest friend that any man ever had. I believe if you are a real friend to someone and they've got a unique sin problem or their case seems to be outside the boundaries of what anybody else could imagine anybody do anything with, I can promise you if you'll get interested in them and bring them to him, it's amazing what Jesus Christ can do. Hallelujah. And thank God at this private meeting, he comes into the presence of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 32 said, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. Now, why did they make such a request? They made such a request because they had seen him do it again and again. Oh, my, help us, Lord. Oh, you say, why would they try to instruct Christ? Well, I don't think they were trying to instruct him as much as they were trying to implore him. They had seen these hands touch blinded eyes. Oh, yes. They had seen these hands touch those that were otherwise helpless and hopeless as far as the world is concerned. And they wanted to get him in the presence of Christ. And now they said, Lord, if you'll just touch him, you've done it before. Hallelujah. And you can do it again. Amen. And these interested friends brought him into the presence of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this meeting that Jesus had took place in verse 33. Bible said he took him aside. And that is that Christ wanted to deal with this man personally. And I like that, don't you? I like the fact that every sinner that gets saved, he takes them aside. Hallelujah. Oh, I like the fact that he deals with each one personally. No, I like the fact that when he does, the work that he does is unequal to any other. The way that he deals with this man may seem strange to us. In fact, when we read it, it may have even shocked our sensibilities. We said, that's how Jesus worked in this man's life. Well, if some of us would tell about the intimate details of how the God of glory began to break us down in our pride, how he began to show us what we were, how helpless and hopeless and lost we were, and reveal to us our wicked and lost state, it may be sound a little strange to the ears of others. Oh, but I want to tell you, I remember very well when he drew me aside and he started to deal with open my heart and show me that I was an old lost sinner. I remember the day when he took me aside and revealed to me how fully wicked I was and how unworthy and ungodly that I was. Oh, hallelujah for the way that he deals with the individual. And then the work that he did. I said the way that he worked, he took him aside from the multitude. And none of us would want anybody else to do us like this. Put his fingers in his ears. You say, oh, keep your hands off of me. But Jesus can do what nobody else can do. Put his fingers into his ears and he spit and touched his tongue. Now that goes a little farther than some of the rest of us can go, right? You say, oh, no, he didn't do that. Well, in one occasion, he spat in some dirt and made some clay and he rubbed it on a man's eyes. You say, I'd never do that. I wouldn't either because I'm not him. I can't do what he can do. But I want to tell you what, honey, I believe if he explained to us exactly how he works in every heart, none of us could comprehend what he's doing, and we could not comment on it except to say, like they said, he had done all things well. I don't know how he did it, but hallelujah. I know when it was all said and done, glory to God, it was done well. Amen. It was done well. Yes, it was. And the work that followed. The way that he worked in this life and the work that followed where he spit and touched his tongue. And then the word, which is a bit of a puzzle to us as well. I believe he used the language of his childhood, Aramaic. And in a very simple way, he said, Ephphatha. That is, be open. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful that at times he was able to open the heart and set demons to flee from an inhabited heart. There was a time when he's able to take blinded eyes and open blinded eyes. And there was times when he was able to open doors and change circumstances and puzzle at what he does and amazed at what he does. We say here, hallelujah, not only for these interested friends, but hallelujah for an intervening Savior. Oh, yes, there's a visible miracle that takes place in this chapter. Chapter 7, verse 35, this is a favored word of Mark, and straightway, and the word means immediately. Sometimes Mark would use the word anon, or it means the same thing. And straightway, his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed. And he spake plain. I'd love to have been there. You ever thought about like this when you read these accounts of Christ? I'd love to have been there that day and watched Jesus work a little bit. And watched as he and said, stick your tongue out. And all of a sudden he said, oh, hallelujah. And somebody said, what did he say? Oh, hallelujah. Right. They said, hold on a minute. He's talking. He said, you're right. I'm talking because I just got a touch. Hallelujah. Oh, my. I'd love to have been there that day, but there have been many times I have been there. Oh, you say, how has it been? Oh, it's been wonderful to see old sinners come down an aisle and somebody hadn't been sober in years. And thank God they come down an aisle, Brother Sam, and they get an old-fashioned altar and they take Christ. And the next thing you know, the booze goes out and the Bible goes in. The hatred goes out and the joy goes in. Listen, the bondage leaves and the victory comes. Oh, bless his holy name. I love to see him work. Hallelujah. Oh, when I look at this miracle our Lord did in the physical realm on earth, what he longed to do in the spiritual realm. Is he able to open the ears of this man? Yes, he is. And he longs to open the ears of those that we've been talking to that just don't seem to desire to listen. You think about that. Sometimes you may think, well, Lord, they're not even listening to what I've got to say. They're spiritually deaf and they're spiritually mute. And sometimes in our mind, we can't imagine them coming to a service like this. And we talked to them and talked to them and they said, all right, have a good day. No, I want to tell you something. I remember a man right here in this town. Myself and the man who led me to Christ the morning I got saved, We went to his home many times. He was an old drunkard. We went there many times. Before we went, the man that was my mentor and taught me about soul winning said, "Brother Tommy, we're going over here to see this man," and he called this man's name. I don't want to say it, but he said, "We're going over there." And he said, "When we get the conversation started," he said, "I'm going to turn and let you take the conversation." And he said, "I want you to witness to this man." He said, "I want you to tell him what Christ done for you. And if you can, take the Bible and try to lead him to Christ." I said, "All right." And we were there. And that was not the only time. That night, that was the first time I got to witness to this man. But it wasn't the last time. There were many times we would leave that home. You know, in my mind, I'm being honest with you, I think to myself, "Lord, will this man ever get saved? Will he ever really get saved?" And I'm ashamed to admit that. I'm ashamed to admit the fact that I doubted God could take his word and his power. And I went to a revival meeting one night. I was not preaching, but I went to a revival meeting one night. There was a man there preaching that I wanted to hear in that revival meeting, Brother Sam. I came down the aisle, and as I was coming down the aisle, I looked, and it was an organ over on one side of the church. There sit this man playing. And I said, "Dear God, there he is." And so I just went right up to him, Brother Mark, and I called him by name. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Tommy," he said, "I want you to know I got saved." Oh my, God can do it when sometimes we doubt that our efforts to try to bring them. Oh, but there in that service, he was aglow with the joy of Jesus Christ. There in that service, he was all lit up with the joy of Jesus Christ, playing an instrument, serving his Lord, and doing what God wanted him to do. Oh, I bless his holy name. When some of us give up hope, there's a Savior who's still able to give what nobody else can give. Oh, if he fed the hunger with bread, he can give himself to them as the bread of life. If he touched the untouchable, he can touch those who are rotten with sin and restore them by his mighty power. And inasmuch as this man spake plain, they will testify one day of Jesus Christ. Boy, this is wonderful. I have lived long enough to see some come to Christ that I didn't think would ever get saved. And I want to tell you this, it doesn't bode well for you and I to give up on someone that the Lord is still able to save. Now, I know sometimes we do. Now, I know sometimes maybe in our mind, mentally, even though we don't say it vocally, we mark them off in our mind saying they'll never get saved. Oh, but I want to tell you something, friend. There's no thought like that in the Savior's heart. He still loves them. He still longs to change them. And one day they can testify of Christ's power and what Jesus can do for others. I'm glad that, hallelujah, this private meeting turned into a visible miracle. And then there's a powerful message that's conveyed to us in the text. And we're beyond measure astonished. I want to say this tonight. You and I ought to never lose that astonishment at what he can do. And I know we can get skeptical and cynical and we say, "Well, you know, did they get saved? Did they not get saved?" Well, that's God's business. It's up to him. It's up to him, but just listen. Sometimes we can lose our thrill and amazement at the prospect of all that he can do. And then all you've got to do is look back and see what he has done for you, how sin hardened you were. Oh, my, I'm about to get stirred up here. Oh, how hard-hearted you were, how driven by sin you were. And then one day, hallelujah, the wonderful message of the gospel came to you. And the power of the Holy Ghost began to deal with a sin heart and heart. And God began to break you down and bring you to the realization of who you were. And he brought you and the power of Jesus Christ into the arms of the Savior. Oh, that you and I would speak plainly today and tell the world that he had done all things well. No, it behooves us tonight to be able to say how unworthy we are, but how worthy he is. Yeah. How ungodly we were when we came to him. Oh, but how wonderful he is. Hallelujah. Conviction brought us to Christ. Conversion brought the touch to us. And the change makes him go away. A different individual speaking plain. And you and I can speak plainly of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Amen. And I want to say to you tonight, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. How often have I heard them tell the story of how Jesus met them in various places and in various circumstances. Some on the side of the road. A preacher friend of mine, a young man I met years ago as a young preacher, got saved in the side of the road in a Chevrolet. Oh, you know God's good if he can save you in a Chevrolet. Hallelujah. That's right. He can save you in a Ford, save you in a Oldsmobile, save you in a Buick. Oh, he can save you if there beside the road you desire to turn to Jesus. He can save you there. And then there's some who got saved in the darkness of the night in their own home, maybe beside their bed. And others, I've heard many testimonies about how some had fell out of the bed in the middle of the night on their knees and cried out to God for God to save them. No, I want to tell you this. I'm glad you and I can speak plainly about what Jesus has done. I remember the day I got saved. I remember it well. And I've been trying to tell others plainly all of these years about the Lord Jesus Christ. Just recently, some events transpired when I was brought back into the pathway of an old friend. And when I first came back to Kannapolis, I went into a little restaurant over here, not too far from the church. And there he sat there at the food bar that was right near the grill. And I slipped up beside of this man who for many years he and I spent time together in sin and in wickedness. And I was able to sit down one more time, Brother Mark, and, you know, he didn't know how to communicate with me now since I've been saved. And every time I'd see him after a long distance apart, he'd say, "Are you still?" He didn't know what to say. Are you still? I said, "You mean saved?" He said, "Well, I guess yes." I said, "Yes, I'm still saved." And I said, "I'm the pastor of this church over here off the boulevard, and Jesus is still real, and God's still good. And it's still wonderful to be saved." Yeah. Hallelujah. He done all things well. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Done all things well. I can't say there's a whole lot of things I've messed up along life's way, but he's done all things well. Amen. Made enough mistakes that if you had to be saved and kept by your own works, I'd have went to hell a long time ago. But he's done all things well. You say, "You ain't much." You're right, but I'm not a finished product. He's still working on me, and one day I'll be just like him. Hallelujah. I bless his name, but I can say he's done all things well. And I don't always understand everything he does. In fact, some of the things he does honestly still have me puzzled. But one day I'll get to bow at his feet, and I don't think it's going to matter when I get there. But I'm glad I can say tonight he's done all things well. And I'm thankful that change that this man experiences, a change like unto that has taken place in my own heart. And I will say this, if he ever takes you aside, and if he ever touches you, and if he ever does that, he'll transform your life where you'll never be the same. And I know that along life's way, we find people sometimes that, you know, they say it's just not worth it, and they kind of throw in the towel and they quit. But I want to tell you this, if you've ever really been saved, and you know what Jesus has done for you, and you can say from your heart, "Yes, our Lord has done all things well." Let's stand with our heads bowed tonight.